brother. What's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah, brother,
dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And Calvin, boy, what a difference a day makes. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing well. I got the lawn mowed yesterday and then some other big news happened. So yeah, I'm excited for the week.
Yeah, you know, it is a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and we will begin the show this morning with welcoming back Mr. Pierre Hollins. He is with the Patriotic Millionaires. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
It's always great to have you on. And so we've got a lot of stuff to discuss this morning, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on the earth-shattering news of yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think, I think it's a good news story. You know, I think what happened was what a lot of us kind of hoped would happen. Maybe we hoped it would happen earlier, but glad to see it happen and looking forward to moving on.
So let's talk about wages. Wages. It depends, you know, the scale is such a wide range. I was reading something the other day that, you know, I didn't know for certain, you know, because people were telling me that there was this ongoing push for $15 minimum wage a couple of years ago. I saw the yearly pay for a full-time employee at McDonald's. Now, 35 hours, 30, whatever it is, didn't pay any benefits. Yeah. It was $18,000.
Yeah.
And we're talking somebody who works full time with no benefits. I don't think people really understand that there's a segment of people in this nation that will never get beyond that kind of pay scale. And we don't have anything set up to assist them.
Yeah, you know, it's show me a person who can live on 18 grand a year, and I'll show you a person who's not even getting by on their own, you know, not taking advantage of public assistance. And, you know, one of the things that I often hear or read, you know, is people are saying, well, these are teenagers, you know, this is their first job, you know, how much do you actually expect them to make? Well, that's not the truth, right? The average age of a minimum wage worker is 35 years old.
Wow.
35 years old. That's not a teenager. That's double a teenager, right? You know, these are the people we're talking about. And they're not even getting by. That's well below the poverty level.
You know, Pierre, I had a woman on about a year or so ago who had worked in fast food for 30 years. A woman who was at retirement age. Yeah. So here's a person who worked her entire life. She never made more than $18 an hour, even as a manager. So she retires. She gets Social Security, which is what? Peanuts. There is nothing else. There's so many Americans who are in that kind of situation who are coming to, you know, retirement age. What are we going to do as a nation? Because somewhere along the line, we're going to have to find a way to subsidize those people. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just mentioned the word, right? Subsidize. Because the truth is, right, these people are not making enough money to live on. So somebody's got to subsidize them. And that's what we're doing. That's what the taxpayers are doing. They are subsidizing people whose employers don't want to pay them a decent minimum wage. So, you know, we're footing the bill. The taxpayers are footing the bill, propping up businesses that are not paying their workers what they should be paying them. And so, you know, basically we're subsidizing the businesses indirectly. That's what we're doing.
You know, I have to tell you, Mr. Hollins, that I am just, it's still pretty amazing to me that I can have a conversation with you guys, the patriotic millionaires, and hear what comes out of your mouth talking about the fact that businesses aren't paying their fair share, especially coming from that side of the equation. It's usually the average person who say, hey, the businesses aren't paying their fair share. Why? Why is it that patriotic millionaires have taken this position?
Well, I think that, you know, some of us have lived on both sides of the street, so to speak, right? Some of us, like myself, you know, came from poverty, you know, and I know what it's like to work those wages. I know what it's like to have those types of jobs. So there's a group of us, you know, that have lived on both sides. And then there's another group of folks who just came to the realization that the system is unfair. It is just unfair, and it is rigged against people. It's rigged against working people. You know, it's just not fair. And for the people who are wealthy, who don't want to admit that, you know, they might want to spend a little time in self-reflection on why they don't admit that.
You know, I saw a statistic the other day, and it said something like 800 billionaires control, how much of the wealth was it? Well over 50% of the wealth. Yeah. I mean, if you just try to run that through your computer in your head, you say, how does this make sense? And I hear people sometimes say, hey, Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire. And they're all excited. And it's the average person saying this. And I'm saying, how does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and what I hear when I talk about this or things like this, people are like, well, you know, you're just jealous, right? You're envious. Yeah. You're jealous. No, I am not. I am not envious. I am not jealous. I think it's just wrong. You know, and I think we talked about this the last time, but, you know, the United States, you know, one of the reasons we were founded was to get out from underneath a monarchy, right, and have a democratically elected government. Well, what we've done here is we've created a system where we've replaced monarchs with billionaires. I mean, that's what we've done. And now we're right back in the same situation that we were in before. Nobody's electing Elon. Right. You know, he didn't get elected. Right. But he's going to try his darndest to determine who does get elected.
You know, if you're just joining us, I'm joined by Mr. Pierre Hollins. He is with the Patriotic Millionaires. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, here's a man who says, I'm going to put $45 million. What was it, weekly or monthly, whatever it was, in Donald Trump's campaign. I think it's every week, $45 million. Can you imagine if $45 million was given to the lower rung weekly of people in this nation, women and children, widowers, people who struggle every day? How can the society continue to exist, sir, at the rate she's going now if we don't do something to correct the trajectory of it?
Yeah, it's unsustainable. It really is. And everybody who's paying attention will say the same thing. It's unsustainable. You know, think about what you could do with that money. You could end homelessness. You could end hunger in the United States. You could do a whole lot of good things. What he wants to do is buy influence, right? Because he's not happy enough just being the richest man in America. He's not happy enough with that. He wants to be, you know, a kingmaker. That's what he wants, you know, and he's going to fund whoever says, you know, I got your back, Elon.
You know, the system, we talk about, this is a democratic system. We talk about democracy. We talk about money in politics. We see what that's wrought. And we know that at the root of the decay of this nation is the fact that the decision that was made to put, you know, allow, you know, the corporations to say they're equal to people, which is, you know, a mindless thought, and how anybody could have thought that that was going to lead to something positive is outlandish, but it's occurred now. How do we possibly turn that around?
Well, you know, you're talking about Citizens United.
Yes.
And other than, you know, getting the Supreme Court to revisit that decision, which they are absolutely not going to do, you know, it's up for the legislative branch to take care of it. And we've got a Congress that is just stagnant. They don't do anything. Right. The only thing they do is try to hold on to power and make the other side look bad. And that's on both sides of the House, really, you know, literally on both sides of the House. Right. All they seem to want to do is make the other side look bad and not accomplish anything for the people.
You know, you and I have been around a while. I can tell by your beard. and, you know, and so we remember a time when our nation had some focus, some concern. Our nation had a safety net. European nations have safety nets. They understand the importance of the people, and the people should matter in a democracy. If the people don't matter, let's stop talking about democracy, sir.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's just amazing to me how many apologists are out there, you know, trying to excuse poor behavior. And trying to, you know, act like they're full on supportive of the things that's going on right now. It's just amazing to me that more folks aren't outraged.
You know, the generations X, Generation X, Generation Z, millennials, all of those younger people have their future ahead of them. You know, we baby boomers, my generation, you know, it's not so much anymore. But, yeah. And so we've lived our lives, really, the baby boomers, we've lived great lives. My argument has always been that I want to make sure that the generations after us gets the same fair opportunity to live the American dream. Hold that thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by the Patriotic Millionaires, Pierre Hollins. It's always great to have you on. 844-967-2789 on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. I'm joined by none other than Mr. Pierre Hollins. He is with the Patriotic Millionaires, and we're talking about wages. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. Once we get money out of politics, we will restore government back to we the people. Pierre, I understand exactly what you're saying. I've been fighting to get money out of politics since Citizens United actually came about. I think that is the thread that makes everything else happen, whether it's gun safety, whether it is any of the other orders of the day. Taxes, what have you. It's all about money and politics. Can you explain to the listening audience how it is that, well, one, that the Democrats did have a proposal put in place. It's called House Resolution 1, and that would have actually curtailed money in politics But that did not get through because of the Republicans. And also it was the conservative Supreme Court that brought about these money in politics, because Feingold and McCain had kind of a grip on it. But can you explain to people, like Nick Hanauer does, who's a billionaire, about how, you know, a person that's a billionaire can't buy 100,000 cars. You can only buy one. Can you riff on that a little bit, if you know what I'm
talking about? All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Pierre?
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, certainly. You know, the money in politics is a bad thing. And I got to say, you know, the Democrats benefit from dark money just as much as anybody else, right? So both sides are taking advantage of this. But it's outrageous to me that I could form a company or I could form a PAC, and I can funnel money through that, and I can make contributions that I, as a private citizen, am not allowed to do. How is it that I can create an entity that has more power than me? It just seems wrong. It seems to me that individuals should have more say than companies, right? But we've thrown that out the window years ago. But I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. In terms of explaining, I don't know if I can explain anything better than what smarter folks have already done, other than to say, you know, if a rich person picks up the phone and calls their representative, chances are that representative is going to answer the phone. How many times has your representative picked up the phone when you called, right? I get people calling me, right? Governors, what have you, calling me, always asking for money. But while they're asking for money, I get a chance to slip in a couple of my thoughts, you know, as much as I like. Nobody ever called me when I was poor. Nobody ever called me when I was poor.
You know, that's not right. You know, Pierre, you just summed it up so well. Part of this, and as long as, you know, you can call your representatives. This is a representative government, meaning that the people you elect are there to represent you, because we, as you know, the taxpayers can't go and petition and speak to government on behalf of ourselves. So we elect people to do that. I talk about this constantly. And yet those people have to make a decision on whether or not who they're going to support. And are they going to support the corporations, or are they going to support the people? And far too many times, as you just stated, both Democrats and Republicans support who? The businesses. And the average American citizen doesn't even know, you know, anything about this, these different laws that have been created. They're too busy struggling to keep a roof over their head, food in their children's mouths. And I can't remember, as a 70-year-old man, I can't remember a time in my life where children and the elderly suffered so much in this country as they're suffering now. You know, food lines. If it wasn't for I wasn't around in the 20s, but the soup lines and those kinds of, we're not far away from that right now, Pierre. And if something is not done to change that direction, that's where we're headed.
Yeah. I mean, you look at soup kitchens, you look at community food banks. I mean, they've got lines, you know, people are hurting. There is no doubt that the average citizen is hurting, but you know, who's not hurting? The wealthy. I mean, we're having a great time of it. You know, the rich literally keep getting richer. They do. You can look at any statistic you want and it bears truth. And, you know, at some point, how much is enough, right? For some of these people, they're just insatiable. You know, we talked about Elon a little while ago. He's just insatiable. There is no amount of money that will satisfy him ever. It's really an illness at some level. It's got to be.
Yeah, it really is. And I'll tell you, it is more than, you know, a great opportunity to have you guys on these airwaves, because where else is this conversation being had, especially by people who are saying, hey, I have enough. Stop giving me more. I don't need any more. And yet whether you're going to accept it or not, they're going to keep giving it to you. And because of the way the policies are constructed.
Yeah. You know, and you know who wrote those policies?
Yes.
Wealthy people wrote them. You know, wealthy people wrote the policies, and they made it so complicated that regular folks can't even understand what the policy is. They don't even know the policies that apply to themselves, let alone wealthy folks.
You know, one of the most amazing things, Pierre, is if I don't pay my taxes, an average Joe, they're going to come after me. They're going to take everything that I have, everything that I own. They're going to hit me with a penalty so high that it disrupts my family. But if the wealthy don't, who don't have to pay those taxes, nonsense.
Yeah, don't have to pay them, right? Because we don't earn income the way regular people earn income. Plus, we can hire a team of accountants and lawyers and tie it up in court forever. You know, just wait until the government gets tired of chasing after me. I mean, that's the game.
You know, Pierre, it's always great talking to you. I always enjoy having an opportunity to share your vast knowledge of, you know, average people.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. That's Mr. Pierre Hollins of the Patriotic Millionaires. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. On the Earl Ingram Show, up next, the news of the year. President Joe Biden has decided to step out of the race. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show, a Motown Monday, Civic Media. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I just want to thank Mr. Pierre Hollins of the Patriotic Millionaires for taking the time out to share, you know, that information with us. So I want to say that what happened on yesterday evening is one of those times that will go down in history. And where people will ask you, where were you at when President Joe Biden, and what were you doing when President Joe Biden decided to step out of the race? And I will say this, you know, the timing of it and the sacrifice that President Biden made in making this decision is one that I think should not go unrecognized. I want to, before we get into all of this, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I think it's important that I take a couple minutes to talk about some of the accomplishments that President Biden was able to bring into fruition during his 3.5 years as president of the United States. Number one, and sometimes we just forget because there's so many other things going on, but let me go through some of these quickly. Here are the 23 greatest accomplishments of President Joe Biden during his time as the president of the United States. Number one, he passed the $1.2 trillion $1 bipartisan infrastructure package to increase investment in the national network of bridges and roads, airports, public transportation, and national broadband internet, as well as waterways and emergency systems. And I don't know about you and your towns and cities or wherever you live, but where I live, everywhere over the last 3 years, there have been roads and bridges and waterways all redone because of President Joe Biden and that bipartisan infrastructure package. Number two, help get more than 500 million life-saving COVID-19 vaccinations in the arms of Americans through the American Rescue Plan. My, how we soon forget exactly what was transpiring at that time. I certainly know my father passed from COVID, and so I'll never forget, you know, what was taking place at that time and what Joe Biden was able to leading a nation at a time that it was turned inside out and upside down, and what he was able to do to mitigate what could have been 10 times worse. Number three, he stopped a 30-year streak of federal inaction on gun violence by signing the Bipartisan Safe Communities Act that created enhanced background checks, closed the boyfriend loophole, and provided funds for youth mental health. Number four, made a $369 billion investment in climate change, the largest largest in American history through the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. He ended the longest war in American history by pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. Number six, provided $10,000 to $20,000 in college debt relief to Americans with loans who make under $125,000 a year. Number seven, cut child poverty in half through the American Rescue Plan. Number eight, cap prescription drug prices at $2,000 per year for seniors on Medicare through the Inflation Reduction Act. Number nine, passed a COVID-19 relief deal that provided payments of up to $1,400 to many struggling U.S. citizens while supporting renters and increasing unemployment benefits. Number 10, achieved historically low unemployment rates after the pandemic caused them to skyrocket. Number 11, imposed a 15% minimum corporate tax on some of the largest corporations in the country, ensuring that they pay their fair share as part of the historic Inflation Reduction Act. Number 12, recommitted Americans to the global fight against climate change by rejoining the Paris Agreement. Number 13, strengthened the NATO alliance in support of Ukraine after the Russian invasion by endorsing the inclusion of world military power Sweden and Finland. Number 14, authorized assassination of the al-Qaeda terrorist Ayman al-Zahari, who became head of the organization after the death of Osama bin Laden. Number 15, gave Medicare the power to negotiate prescription drugs prices through the Inflation Reduction Act while also reducing government health spending. Number 16, held Vladimir Putin accountable for his invasion of Ukraine by imposing stiff economic sanctions. Number 17, boosted the budget of the Internal Revenue Service by nearly $80 billion to reduce tax evasion and increase revenue. Number 18, created more jobs in 1 year, 6.6 million, than any other president in the U.S. history. Number 19, reduced the health care premiums under the Affordable Care Act by $800 a year as part of the American Rescue Plan. Number 20, signed the PACT Act to address service members' exposure to burn pits and other toxins. Number 21, signed the CHIPS and Science Act to strengthen American manufacturing and innovation. Number 22, reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act through 2027. And number 23, halted all federal executions after the previous administration reinstated them after 17-year freeze. Now, I will say this. President Joe Biden's leadership has been transformative. guiding America through unprecedented challenges with wisdom and compassion. His accomplishments are numerous and significant. Yet, as we approach a critical juncture in our nation's history, it's becoming clear that a new chapter must begin. The time has come for President Biden, and he did this, and he stood up, and he made this decision. And clearly, he didn't have to make the decision. He chose to make this decision, and it's a selfless decision that is going to make it possible now that the Democratic Party can get a boost and certainly put the Republican Party on its heels. He made this decision at a time that the Republican Party was riding high after the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump and the Republican convention. They were riding awfully high. And now that this decision has been made by President Biden to step back, it adds a whole new vigor to the Democratic Party at a time that many were just about ready to give up hope. Make no mistake about it, by President Biden making this decision to step aside when he did, it opens the door to realities that may eventually lead the Democratic Party to putting an end to what many hope will be a lawless former president and clearly a vice presidential running mate that is going to do everything within his power to continue to divide this nation. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Happy Motown Monday to everybody.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, while it wasn't completely unexpected, Biden's decision to rethink running for office, I thought it took a great amount of courage, a lot of guts, and like you guys were saying, selflessness, country first. It's refreshing to see it again. It's in today's day, it's pretty tough to find. Now think about this. You know, in the last, in the 2006 election, we were promised so much from the Republicans if Trump would have won, or you know, if he's going to win. Healthcare, remember, they said they had the greatest healthcare plan sitting in the wings within 100 days. It would have the new health plan for the nation that had been promised to the American people since Ronald Reagan. It was going to, according to Donald Trump, it's laying in waiting, ready to be implemented within 100 days. That didn't happen. What he did try to pass was a garbage plan, garbage health care that didn't cover anything that pre-existing all of a sudden popped its ugly head up again. It was not a good plan. And so, you know, we were promised health care. We were promised infrastructure. Look what the GOP did when they were in power since Reagan. They ignored infrastructure. They allowed it to get trillions and trillions behind the curve to the point where many of our roads and bridges and transportation systems are at risk for failure. You know, it's just amazing to me. You know, longest wars, illegal wars, much less longest wars in American history, and ignoring climate. I mean, we can go on and on. The end of my little thing here is, you know, I'm tired of chaos. I'm tired of one party crap talking America over and over and over again when we have experienced, and what we've seen with America since post-COVID is an incredible resilience. The economy is rocking. The people have jumped in with both feet and got America back on its feet. We're leading the world in performance, in business, in inflation control. There's so many good things going on, but we're stuck in Trump. So, you know what? Again, it was a hell of a decision. It took a lot of guts, and it showed me how healthy the Democratic Party is when Joe Biden made the move to step aside to let the next generation come in and do what we want them to do.
You know, Mike.
So I'm excited.
You know, Mike, clearly part of what transpired opens the door, as you just stated. We've been hearing nonstop, Joe Biden is too old, he's too old, he's too old. You know, now the guy on the other side is 78 years old, and he's running against a woman in her you know, mid to late 50s. And now, who's the person that's too old? You know, I mean, I wonder if the Republicans who have been constantly harping on Joe Biden being too old, I know they're in shock. They are looking at every opportunity they can now to figure out a way, because the Democrats have, for now, checkmated the Republican Party. I don't think that people should forget about, you know, what President Biden has done with making this decision. He and his family certainly, I think, has done for the benefit of the American people. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts on President Joe Biden deciding not to run. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Listen, this is not, you know, a mourning. There hasn't been a passing. You know, the president didn't die. What the president did, what President Biden did do, was something that has been done only a couple other times in the history of this nation. Stepped aside at a time that he could have remained. Nobody could have forced him out. And so what did that do? That opened the door. It opened an opportunity for the Democratic Party to self-reflect on itself, to determine who and what should be the direction that it will go in. You know, this is not going to be something that automatically happens. The Democratic Party is going to have to reflect, take a good, strong look at itself, and find the person who, and support that person, and we can start turning this nation around. Certainly, Joe Biden began that process. I just talked about 23 different things that he did during his tenure. And these things are very consequential. We don't see it or look at it on a daily basis, but he made some major, major changes in a hostile environment. So we should never forget the sacrifices and the successes that were made under President Joe Biden. Let's go to Jean from McClare. Hey, good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Yeah, we've had 50 years of selfless service, outstanding, who had love, kindness, love of country, love of people.
And hardships.
And unity.
And hardships.
Yes, and he was so wonderful because, you know, he didn't do this to pad his pockets. He didn't do this to be on the television all the time. He did this because he saw what the people were suffering in our country. And he didn't have to do this, and all he did from day one was be attacked. And we were all attacked every single day by those people that wants to change our democracy. And they thought they had it right in the bag because they went after him nonstop. In fact, there was a TV station, Earl, that I never get, and I don't have cable, and I don't have an internet television, and there was the Salem Broadcasting that was on going nonstop after Biden during this time, and I don't know where in the devil it came from. I can't get it again. And I thought, oh, them dirty, rotten scoundrels. I'm sorry, but I think that Joe Biden now can finish his job without being attacked and do the things to finish for America, because he, you know, we got internet out here. Lines are laid, but now the company has to come. But we've, you know, we didn't get that. There wasn't even an offer of it. Our roads in our area here were going to go to rocks and sand and dirt and gravel. And these roads where they're building is now getting done. It's amazing.
You know, Jean, you and I are from a different time. And I remember when the then President Biden suffered a horrible, horrible fate when his wife and child were killed in an automobile accident, his first wife. And I also remember, Joe Biden as a congressman when he had a brain aneurysm. And in the face, and then to lose another son because of cancer that he contracted from burn pits. You know, this man dealt with hardships that would stop the average person, but he continued to move forward. Gene, thank you very much for the call, as always. Really good to hear you. Let's go to John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Great show.
Well, thank you.
I would say that if you look at the history of modern 21st century, which we're in, you don't have to go far back to find Margaret Thatcher and people like her. My grandmother lived to 93 and was, our whole family would do whatever she wanted because she made the best dinners and suppers at her place. She used to make a meatloaf and put it with majoram, the spice.
Hey, John, it's too early in the morning, man. You're making me hungry. Go ahead.
She put a little ketchup on top of it and it baked it for like 375 for 20 minutes, you know. But she had a way of, like Margaret Thatcher. Look at what was written about Margaret Thatcher's autobiography. She did a pretty good job, too, remember, with the Falkland Islands and all that.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Kathy from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Kathy. You say what?
Two things. One, President Biden was very gracious when he was elected and January 6th happened. People kept saying he really wasn't the president. It was stolen. Never once did he raise his voice or get involved during all the shenanigans with Trump. Never once did he get involved. We need to stand behind him and thank him for all that he has done pulling us out of the pandemic. And two, I've heard on Fox News they are now calling Vice President Harris the DEI candidate. I want to know, why is it whenever a woman, a strong woman, gets a job, it's a DEI reward? Squash it, regret.
Hey, Kathy, thank you very much for the call. Our phone lines are open. at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
Baby, 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 take a good look at my face. Yeah, you'll see my smile.